It is good, and we mean that sincerely. It is good to be here tonight. It's good to be in this place. It's good to see each one that's gathered here in the house of the Lord. We do appreciate your prayers, any prayers that you have lifted up before the Lord on our behalf. We certainly need the Lord to uphold us. We need the Lord to give us strength to recover from our travels and what have you today, and give us the liberty to bring the word of the Lord to you today. It's good to see the familiar faces that are here. It's good to see the newer ones. I'll beg and ask you to be patient with me. Even after all these weekend services, I still not remember most of the names, so just forgive me of that, but we'll try best we can. It's good to see this good number out. Let's take our Bibles tonight to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We'd like to read verse 7 through verse 12 for our text this evening. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is often called the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 focuses in on the subject of love. Well, 1 John chapter 4 could be called the love chapter. The text that we've read this evening focuses in on the subject of love. And love is the message that the Lord has laid upon our heart. I want to preach on the subject, this is real love. This is real love. In verse number 10, you find those three words there. Herein is love. Herein is love. That's the equivalent of the Lord saying, this is love. This is real love. And we're going to be looking at this 10th verse in particular, drawing most of our thoughts and our points from the 10th verse. Before we get to that, though, I want to point out that in verse number 11, in speaking about God's love, verse number 11 tells us, if God so loved us, or if God has loved us in the manner, in the way that this passage of Scripture deals with, if God so loved us, if God loves us in this manner, we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. I would put before you tonight and just move on to the next thought. That love is a command. Love is not optional. God in His Word commands us to love one another. God in His Word commands us to love God above all. God commands us to love. It's not optional. And if we'll consider the way God loves us, it'll be relatively easy for us to love one another. If God so loved us, if God loved us in this manner, we ought to love one another. In the 12th verse, it says, if we love one another, God dwells in us. So if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If we love one another, if we love one another, God dwells within us. Do you claim to have God dwelling within you? Do you claim to have the Spirit of God within you? Do you believe that when you were saved, the Spirit of God came in and quickened and made you alive, took up residence, sealed you, and is there within you? Do you believe that the Spirit of God, that God is within you? Well, do you love one another? Do you love God's people? Do you love the Lord supremely? Because verse number 12 tells us, if we love one another, God dwells in us. If we love one another, we give evidence that God dwells within us. How much evidence is there in our lives that God dwells within us? Judge by the love we have one for another. The last part of verse number 12. The last part of verse number 12 tells us that if we love one another, His love is perfected within us. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If we love one another, God dwells within us. If we love one another, God's love is perfected within us. It's brought to perfection. It's brought to completeness. Can we say these things are true about us tonight? That we stand in amazement, that we stand in awe of God's love for us, and because He has loved us thusly, we love one another. Because we love one another, we know God dwells within us. Because we love one another, God's love is perfected, made complete within us. There's so many things here in this passage of Scripture about the love of God, our love in response to the love of God, our love for one another. But I want us to focus in on verse number 10. Verse number 10. There's four things we find in verse number 10. About real love. Four things about real love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. Real love does not originate with us. Real love does not begin within the individual. God does not love us because we first loved Him. Real love does not originate within us. We're dead in our trespasses and sins before the Lord demonstrates His love by saving our unworthy souls. We're incapable of loving. We're at enmity with God. We're not only at enmity with God, whether this offends you or not, I have to say, we really hate God. We don't love God naturally. Real love does not originate with us. Don't think too highly of yourself. Your love for God, your love for one another, real love, if you have it, did not originate with you. That's the first thing we see in verse number 10 about real love. The second thing we see in that 10th verse, real love does not originate with us, but real love does originate with God. Real love originates with God, for God is love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. He loved us. That's why we love Him. He loved us first. That's why we're able to love Him in return. Real love does not originate within us. Real love originates with God, comes from God. We know John 3:16 well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved. That's where love began. That's where love came from. God so loved, He sent His Son. In verse number 7 and 8 of this passage of Scripture, it says, Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. Love originates with God. Love comes from God. All love finds itself coming from God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth, verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in verse number 19, short little verse, says it all when it says, we love Him, we love God, because He first loved us. This is real love. Real love does not originate with us. Real love does not originate with men, with individuals. Real love comes from God. Real love finds its origin in Almighty God, because God is love. He's the source of all love. But there's a third thing I want you to notice in verse number 10. Real love doesn't originate with us. Real love originates with God. And real love is God sending His Son. That's real love. That's real love. God sent His Son. I just quoted John 3:16. God sent His Son. That's real love. That's real love. In verse number 9 of our text, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. In this was manifested, displayed, demonstrated. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us. This is love. God sent His Son into the world. And then in the last part of verse number 10, the last part, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. Herein is love. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the satisfying for our sins. This is real love. God sent His Son into the world. This is real love. Jesus died and paid the price for our sins. If you want to define love, define it by God sending Jesus into the world and Jesus Christ coming and giving Himself a sacrifice for sinners. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 2. And walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And how did he prove it? How did he show it? And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. This is love. God sent Jesus Christ into the world. This is love. Christ died upon the cross for sinners. There's no better definition for love than that God sent Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ came and died. And that's the basis of why we should love one another. This is why God so loved us. That's why it speaks of God so loving us that we ought to love one another. In 1 John, the book where our text is found, only go to chapter 3 this time. First John chapter 3. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby we understand. Hereby we come to grasp or we see the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby we perceive the love of God. He laid down his life for us. This is real love. This is real love. It did not originate with us. It did not begin with us. Real love originates with God. God is love. He's the source of all love. Real love is seen in him, in his sending his son into the world. And real love is seen by his dying for our sins. I would put before you tonight the only way you can know God loves you. The only way you can know God loves you is by your believing that God sent his son into the world to die for you, and by dying for you, he paid for your sins. The only way you can say God loves me is if you've experienced that love in God sending his son and Christ dying on the cross for your sins. Do you know God loves you? I don't know the spiritual standing of a lot of you that are gathered here. I know a lot of you are church members, and I know most of those that are church members and are saved. But if you're here and you're lost, do you want to know God loves you? You want to have that blessed assurance, God loves me? That's only possible by believing, by knowing that God sent him into the world, that he died for you. And by dying for you, he paid for your sins. In dying for you, he died that you might live. Can you put the day behind you? Can you put all the problems and the cares that you've had today or this past week out of your mind? And can you, my lost friend, just for a moment think about you're standing before God. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, so you can't claim God loves you. You can't rest on your laurels, and you can't rest on doing enough or being judged acceptable. You can't hope to gain the love of God when the judgment day comes. If you're here and you're lost, you need Jesus tonight. Amen. You need to know the love of God tonight. And the only way you can know the love of God is by knowing God sent His Son into this world and that Jesus came and died for you. Do you know that? Can you know that tonight? The eunuch said to Philip, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And in a roundabout way, he says, "The only thing that hinders you from being saved is your sins, or being baptized is your sins. So you can't be baptized until you believe. Really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And that eunuch believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved by God's grace. Experienced the love of God. Experienced that God sent His Son into this world and that His Son Jesus Christ had died for him. And having known Christ and received Christ and been saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he was able to be baptized. But he had no business being baptized before that. Because you don't know the love of God by law. You don't know the love of God by some act of obedience. You don't know the love of God by being baptized. You don't know the love of God by being a church member. You know the love of God by knowing God sent His Son and that Jesus came and died for you. Can you put it all out and just focus in on your own spiritual need? Knowing God loves you. Another man in Scripture, the Philippian jailer, cried out to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" You know what they responded to, don't you? They says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's what he needed to do. Was see that God sent His Son, Jesus His Son, came and died for his sins. By believing that God sent His Son and that Jesus Christ died for his sins, he could know the love of God. Know the love of God. And that's your greatest need if you're here and you're lost. Don't concern yourself with pleasing people. Don't concern yourself with doing anything that might gain favor or praise. Concern yourself with your need of Christ, your need of a Savior. Concern yourself with needing to know that God loves you, and you know He loves you because He sent His Son, and His Son came and He died for you. That's your only concern tonight. Do you know God loves you? Do you want to know God loves you? It's pretty simple. In 2023, the message is still the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And people want to get all theological and they want to make sure they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's and saying everything just right. I'm not going to concern myself with those things. Scripture doesn't concern itself with those. Sinners were told, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Yes, that can only happen by the work of God. Yes, it takes the Spirit of God. Yes, the Father has to draw. Yes, we know all the technicalities of it. But we're not called to preach the technicalities to people. I'm not going to preach the technicalities to you tonight. If you're here and you're lost, you need to be saved. And you're only going to be saved and know the love of God by believing that God sent His Son and that His Son died upon the cross for you. And He'll save your soul tonight just as surely as He saved anybody else here. You came in here without the Lord Jesus Christ, putting in your time, paying your dues, keeping people off your back. You've come here for maybe a lot of different reasons. But you came in here many because you had to or you felt obligation. You've came in here tonight like maybe you have many times before without Christ. And you're planning on leaving without Christ. Oh, we pray that God will short circuit your plans. That you came in here not seeking Christ, not concerning yourself with Christ. We pray you'll leave here knowing Christ. Amen. And knowing the love of God. Do you want to know God loves you? The only way you can know God loves you is by believing God sent His Son. And that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sins. Isn't that the greatest feeling a human being can experience is to be loved? The thought that God loves me. I know that because He sent His Son and His Son died for me. He saved my soul many years ago. I know God loves me. It doesn't matter what the world thinks about me. It doesn't matter who doesn't love me. It doesn't matter who dislikes me. I know God loves me. I know that because Jesus came into this world and He died upon the cross for my sins. I was saved when I was 9 years old and I understood at that moment that He died for me. Oh, Brother Homer Crane sat down with me on the front pew of the Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church and he asked me, "Now, if you died, young man, where are you going to go?" And I knew I was going to go to heaven because I had experienced the love of God. I had experienced why He came. God showed me He died for me. And that's never left me. It's a wonderful blessing to know God loves you. I pray. I've been so burdened of late. We had a young girl saved a few weeks ago at church. And I just felt like God was going to do more. I just felt like we were on the verge of the Lord just doing some great things. And those great things haven't come yet. But I still believe He's going to. I still believe He's going to save. I pray that He'll save some here tonight. I pray He'll save some here in the course of these meetings. And I hope and pray that God, in bringing you to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you'll put away all the human excuses. And you'll put aside whatever reason you think a preacher has in seeking the salvation of sinners. And I pray God will just pierce your heart with a desire to know God loves you. By knowing He sent His Son, that His Son came and died for your sins. Do it for no other reason but yourself. To know God loves you. You see there in closing here, we saw in the first part of that 10th verse, that real love does not originate with us. Many people have a counterfeit salvation. Many people have a false salvation. Many people have a false sense of God's love. They think it originated with them. They think they prayed the right prayer. They think they walked the church aisle. They think they answered the questions right. They think their salvation started with them. That's not real salvation. Real salvation begins with God. Real salvation begins with God's love. Amen. We love God, not because we're such fine, outstanding people, but we love God because He first loved us. What it basically boils down to is we're able to love God because God first loved us. We're able to love God because He put His love within us and we're able to return that love He has for us back to Himself. So what stripe of salvation do you have? A salvation that just began with yourself? A salvation that began with you praying a sinner's prayer? A salvation that's nothing more than walking a church aisle? I tell you, love did not originate with you. Love does not originate with me. Love does not originate with any human being. Love originates with God. So make sure. Make sure tonight. You know God loves you because He loved you first. Make sure tonight you know God loves you because He sent His Son and His Son came and died for you. And if you're here and you know God loves you, you've experienced it. You were there and you were changed and you still know God loves you. Do we love Him as we should? Do we love Him as He is deserving? Do we love one another? If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Do we love each other like we should? Is there anything between us and a brother, between us and a sister, between us and someone else in Christ that God's not pleased with? Folks, this is real love. In the good old days, days of my growing up, I think, I hesitate to say this lest it be misunderstood, but I think there was a little Armenian in all of us. At least back then I was a boy, so it wouldn't be me directly, but there's a little bit of Armenian practiced in our churches. Every time we sing "Just As I Am" at our church, I remember back to being a boy and how we sang every verse of "Just As I Am," and sometimes we'd go over and start singing it all over again because we was waiting for somebody to move. We was waiting for somebody to get saved. Preachers had a mentality where they preached and it was like they were moving towards the target of having the invitation. And handling the clothes just right. Saying it just right. I'm not going to do any of those things. Real love is God sending His Son and His Son dying on the cross for our sins. Real love and knowing real love is believing that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Son died on the cross for our sins. Do you know God loves you? Do you know God loves you? Will you take the question serious? Will you consider eternity as hanging in the balance? Will you consider that if you die not knowing God loves you, it's for eternity that you're going to suffer, absent from God? Will you look at yourself, and by the grace of God, will you see yourself as He sees you, as a sinner? Undone and unjust. Will you want the love of God? Will you believe? I leave it with you tonight. Where do you stand in relationship to real love? Do you have it? Have you experienced it? Do you want to experience it? God help us to show it. Thank you, brother.